The things that are really important to my mother are faith, family, friends, and love of children, and especially her love of Delta Sigma Theta, swag, and everything that's associated with her sorority. You know, she truly is a wonderful person, a caring and giving person who loves to give of herself and is a mother to anyone's children.
A lot of times we have to put our family plans on hold or have our dinners later on Sunday because she always has something to do at Children's Church. And we understand, we know that. That is her life.
So when your child goes over to, you know, Children's Church, you know that they're going to be cared for, nurtured, and get good solid advice and a good solid Christian foundation.
I remember growing up, my mom and her mother, my grandmother, would talk just about every single day. And I remember saying, I'm not going to talk to you every single day when I grow up. I'm sorry. But now as an adult, I find myself every single day, I talk to her not one time a day, but several, at least 3-5 times a day. But I just remember, you know, just thinking that, okay, I'm not going to be as close to you when I grow up, you know, as you are to your mother. But my mom is my best friend, and I couldn't imagine it being any other way.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
We love you.
Pastor Wesley, my sisters and brothers in Christ, good morning. Why in the world am I standing here? Pastor, you have hundreds of women and mothers in this church. Why select a little old lady like me to do this? Well, church, when I was trying to get out of it, when I was trying to find a way to say no, Pastor Wesley came to me and he said, Deacon Ware, if you tell me no, I'm going to tell you that God told me to ask you. Well, church, I didn't want to be the reason that Pastor Wesley tweaked the truth a little. So, here I stand. We've heard from the pulpit many, many times that, Pastor, that you were raised old school. Well, I am old school. And I would like to talk to you this morning about some of those old school things that have kept me these 85 years. To some of the young mothers in the audience, let us pray. Lord, may the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Mother, mother, are you a mother? Are you a mother? In one of the children's books entitled, Are You My Mother?, a baby bird had fallen from his nest and was asking everyone he passed the question, Are you my mother? This morning, I want to change the question and ask you, Are you a mother? What makes a mother? What does a mother look like? Does the mere fact that you brought life into this world make you a mother? More importantly, ask yourself, am I the kind of mother God requires of me? You see, I'm not talking about being a mother by the world's standards or definition, but being a mother by God's standard. I raised the question this morning because in my plenty plus years, I've seen mothers and I've seen mothers. When both my kids were young, I took them by the hand and led them to Sunday school, led them to church. Okay? So now we live such distances from church that we have to drive them. But we can't just send them anymore. We have to bring them. But is this enough? Are they still in church? Do they go not out of habit, but because they know that God is the light of their lives, and without them, life is empty and meaningless? Mothers, are we joyful in our worship? Are we showing our children that it's a joy to worship the living God? Are we joyful in our giving? Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, but joyfully, because we want to show how grateful we are for all God's gifts and for his blessings. When we first started Children's Church here at Alfred Street, we used to bring all of the children down to the altar. We would sit them down, tell them a story, then after the story, we would go downstairs. Well, one particular Sunday, we told a story about joyful giving. Instead of going downstairs that morning, we asked them to go back to their seats and watch their parents demonstrate to them joyful giving. That Sunday, everybody gave joyfully. There were smiles all over the sanctuary. Even those who placed empty envelopes in the offering plates gave joyfully. We all demonstrated joyful living and joyful giving that Sunday morning. I've tried to show my children, as well as the children I've taught in this church for over 50 years, that God is indeed real. That when all around you is falling apart, God is there, standing beside you to help with your burdens and carry you over the rough places in your life. Mothers, in our quest to show our love for our children and to demonstrate to others that love, let's not forget that sometimes we have to take a stand and show that we are indeed mothers by demonstrating that love doesn't always say yes. Love doesn't always feel good. Sometimes it stings. My children used to look at me like I was crazy when I told them, when I was correcting them, "This hurts me more than it does you." Are we, as mothers, saying no when we see our children heading in the wrong direction? Punishing when punishment is deserved? Demanding respect? Not giving in to every demand children make of us? Being understanding, yet reasonable when necessary? Tall order, isn't it? But yet, isn't this what mothers are expected to do? Love, correct, admonish, support. And if you think about it, I'm sure that you can double this list. I look at my adult children, nieces and nephews now and think, Lord, it wasn't all my doing. But together, with your leading and me following, we'll produce some pretty good results. If my 85-year-old advice has carried me this far and has been any good, let me just impart to you some of the things that I have learned in my walk as a Christian mother. M, model. Model for your children your worship. Pray and keep your hand in the Master's hand. Show your children how God would have them live. O, obey. Obey God's commands. You're never too old, too young, too cute, too smart to try anything without first getting on your knees and seeking God's way, and then obeying as God reveals his way to you. T, talk. Talk to you, God, then talk about God to your children. Let them know it is God and God alone who sustains you. Tell them the story of your walk with the Master. Tell them how he saved you. Tell them how he guides and continues to guide you through trials and how you always come out on the other side. Sometimes down, but never out. Smiling, yet wiping away tears, but always knowing that through it all, God never left you alone. Can't leave out training. As God directs you, you direct and train your children. H, help. Help someone along the way. Let your children know that you are indeed your brother's keeper. God commands that we reach out, down, up, above, and all around to help our sisters in need. Our love should not just be for me and mine, but unselfishly reach out to others to carry them along with us. You should show God's love by opening your hand. Your hand should never be closed. As much as possible, keep them open, reaching out to others, not to push them away, but to pull them in. E, example. Be an example. Eyes are always watching you. God is watching. Children especially are watching. People are watching to see if your words match your walk. Does what you do match what you say you do? R, rejoice. Rejoice in the knowledge that through it all, you're still here. Rejoice that through it all, you still have a part of your sanity left. Rejoice that God has never forsaken you. Rejoice that through joys and sorrows, you can still feel God's hand leading and guiding you. Rejoice. Let it be known that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoice. As we enjoy the title Mother, let us remember to model, obey, talk to God, talk about God, help others, be an example, and always rejoice. Show by your actions that God is the center of your life. This, my sisters and brothers, is mothering, not as the world dictates, but God's way. I ask the question again, are you a mother? Are you a mother? May God bless you as we celebrate being Christian mothers. God bless you.
My name is Morgan Humans. My mom is Lolita Humans. We've been really involved with church. She's a deacon here, and we both volunteer in the nursery for the 3 and 4 year old nursery here as well. I would say my mom's special because she just has like this way of being warm and also like being helpful at the same time. She's really tough, but she also has this way of just being completely open and being helpful to anything I need.
She's just a great person and a great mother and a great wife, and I want to be like her when I grow up, and everything she does, I'm just in awe.
All first grade should be excited to hear my mom speak because she has a way of taking a really complex problem and simplifying it so that everyone involved is happy and they can move along in peace. Which is not always something that I'm concerned about. And I think that my mom just has a heart for service, a heart for people.
She is probably one of the smartest people I know. She has this way of just bringing people together and making people feel welcome in any type of way that makes them feel good.
She's gonna kill this. She's amazing. And I love you, Mommy. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. I love you, Mama.
First of all, I'm mad because people know I don't like surprises, and I didn't know that was happening. So I love my daughters, and they're fun, and I thank you for this opportunity. I'm thankful that I had great parents because standing here is a product of their parenting efforts. So if you would stand with me, I want to share just a brief passage of scripture with you to start our time together. I'll be reading from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verses 10 through 13. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes, and he was good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Pray with me, please. Lord, we thank you for this time we have together. Father, I thank you for Deacon Mary Ware and the witness of her diligent decades of service. I thank you for her example as a mother. I thank you for this opportunity to speak. Lord, let your words flow through me to be an encouragement to your people in this moment. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So my message today is called, "What You Have Is Enough." What you have is enough. And someone sitting next to you probably needs to hear it, so just take a minute and tell them right now, what you have is enough. So in my free time, one of the things that I love to do is go to the movies. And one of my favorite movies is a 2015 sleeper hit called Beyond the Lights. And in this movie, we have a story about a beautiful young pop princess, kind of like a Rihanna type character. And she falls in love with a dashing LA police officer, Kaz Nicole. So the surface story is about their romance, but there's a story within the story, and it's the story about parenting. So we get to see parenting as Noni's overbearing stage mom forces her to sing a very seductive and provocative style of music. Mother and daughter become deadlocked about that style of music and type of performance. And in the end, we come to a pivotal scene in the movie where Noni is in an existential crisis, and she is contemplating taking her life by suicide. So in the passage that we just shared, we have the same kind of thing going on. On the surface, this is a story about David's anointing and his road to the kingship. But underneath that story is a story of parenting. So in this story, we get to see a glimpse of parenting from Jesse. So in Beyond the Lights, Macy Jean, the stage mom, can't imagine a different style and future for her daughter. And in this passage of scripture, it's hard for Jesse probably to imagine that David, the young, sensitive, creative, melancholy boy out tending the sheep, would ever be a great warrior and king. That's the story within the story. And even more so, we see the story within that story of God as a heavenly father and how he intervened even when Jesse could not see David's potential. So my husband Kevin and I have three beautiful daughters that you just saw. And when we go about the church and we go about our daily activities, people often ask us, "How are the girls? How's the family doing?" One of our daughters, the one you saw on the beach, is actually out of the country right now, and so I was particularly happy to see her on the screen. But we're happy to talk about all the wonderful exploits and things going in the lives of our children.
But today, that's not what I want to talk to you about. Today, I want to have a heart-to-heart with you about the ways that I feel I have failed as a parent. I want to talk to you about the ways that I feel inadequate. And so maybe parenting is not your area of insecurity. Maybe you are single and you don't want to be. Maybe you are married and you want children, but that hasn't happened yet. Maybe you have a bad boss. Maybe you're having difficulty dealing with the signs of aging or a debilitating illness. I want to talk to you about the times when you feel most insecure. Because it is in those times for me that I hear the voice of Jesus saying, "What you have is enough. What you have is enough." So back to the passage. Let's take a look at God's parenting style. So the first thing I see about God is visionary. He sees the big picture. God is visionary. So David seemed a completely unlikely candidate to become a warrior and king. He was outside tending the sheep day after day, and his father, Jesse, was privy only to the snapshot in time of where he was in his present circumstances. As parents, we often are stuck in that snapshot. We can't see what God is doing in the lives of our children, and truth be told, we don't often know what God is doing in our own lives. So one of our daughters, when she was young, had a lot of trouble learning how to read. And so we, feeling that we wanted to do what good parents do, read to her, bought her books, took her to the library, often against her will. And we got tutors and we did reading programs. And nothing seemed to help. So kindergarten came and went, first grade, second grade, third grade, and still not a lot of progress in reading. I felt like a bad parent. I felt responsible. I knew that if I had done more, I was convinced that this situation would be different. Then our daughter reached fourth grade, and seemingly overnight, she woke up and could read. And could read with fluency and comprehension. She was a great reader. So 2 years later, in the sixth grade, she decided to sign up to be a reading buddy. So the Reading Buddies program is such that a sixth grader comes alongside a first grader and helps them to learn to read. So God alone had the big picture vision that struggle could be transformed. He used our daughter's natural gifts of compassion and kindness and the testimony of her struggle to come alongside that little first grader and encourage him and tell him, "You can do this. I couldn't read very well either, and you will read one day. Let's sound it out again, dog." So I'll ask you, where in your life are you desperately praying to be rescued from the struggle? Where are you praying and actively trying to rescue your child from the struggle? How would you be willing to trust God to redeem that challenge for His glory and His glory alone? So another thing I see in this passage is that God is patient while we are growing. Clearly, David was not prepared to step onto the throne on day one of having been anointed. He was being prepared by tending the sheep, learning how to take care of living creatures who could not communicate to him what they needed or wanted. Perfect training to become a king and a leader. He was learning how to protect people by protecting his flock from the lions and the bears. God provides these early training experiences for us to prepare us for the bright future He has before us. But often we despise these humble beginnings. So we have another daughter, and I'd say this about her. She has always been very strong-willed and direct. She has a certain style of communication that does not leave you wondering what's going on. So when she was a two-year-old, she had a way of expressing this that was not socially acceptable. So she was in daycare, and in her two-year-old class, when she was not happy with someone, she would bite that kid. Now, if you know anything about daycare, biting is right up there with pink eye. You gotta go. So that habit built up some strength, and it got some real momentum going, such that she was averaging biting a kid a day. And then one day where it really kind of built to the crescendo, a kid irritated her. She bit the kid. And then when the mommy came to pick her child up at the end of the day, she bit the mommy too. So needless to say, when I got there in the afternoon, the daycare director, a sweet Christian woman, pulled me aside and said, "We've got to do something about this," meaning I've got to do something about this. I felt like a bad parent. I felt responsible for that behavior. I felt like there should have been something that I could have said or done to my 2-year-old baby to let her know that biting people is not okay, no matter how angry you get. But thankfully, like God, the daycare teachers were patient, and the biting eventually stopped. It was a growing season. It was just something that came and went. And eventually, our daughter learned to use words to express herself rather than her teeth. And God is patient with us when we are growing. He's very patient to allow us to have the experiences that shape and mold us into the person He knows we will one day become. These experiences are all for our good. So, in what area are you currently frustrated with your progress or the lack of progress of your child? And how might you pray that God would show you how to support your child during this season of growth? Now, the last thing I want to talk about that I see in this passage about God as a parent is that God is creative. He has many ways to accomplish His purposes. God's plan for David was creative. No one could have written the story of David the shepherd, who becomes David the warrior and the king, in quite the way that God did. God's design for our lives, our designs are very creative and display all the splendor of God. So we have another daughter. We have 3 of them. So this daughter is really creative as well. And she's always loved to sing and dance and act and write. So when she was in first grade, she came home and she was really excited to let me know the book fair was at her school. And she had found something she really loved at the book fair. It was a writing journal. And it was pink and it had glitter on the front and it had a tiny little pink feather boa going around the edge. And she wanted it. So I told her I'd go to the book fair the next day, take a look, and we'd decide. So I went to the book fair, and I saw that little writing journal, and it was poorly made. It looked like it was going to fall apart the minute we walked away from the cash register. And it was $15. And I said, no. So she was sad, but she accepted that. So at the end of the week, Friday came and she came home from school, and I had a habit on Fridays of unpacking the book bag and taking out papers, and the teacher would send a progress report every Friday. So when I opened that book bag, I pulled that zipper, I looked in there. Now what do you think I found in there? The pink writing glittery journal. So I launched into a monologue. You know the one I'm talking about. You know better. We have taught you better than to steal things. How dare you take something that didn't belong to you? We are going right back up to that school, and we're going to talk to the librarian and apologize, and this will never, ever happen again. Now, I saw her mouth moving maybe, but I don't know what she was saying. Because all I know is what I wanted to say about that moment. So I grabbed her hand, and we're headed out the door to get into the car to go back up to the school. It's like 4:00 on a Friday afternoon, and the phone rings. And the librarian says, and it's the librarian, the school librarian's calling me. And she says, "Hey, I really meant to call you earlier in the day because I wanted to talk to you." So I'm bracing myself. I don't want to hear another person say, "Your child stole something from the school." So she says, yeah, I really meant to call you earlier. The book fair closed today. And every year for the book fair, we put all the kids' names in a basket. And we draw two names out of the basket, and the two kids that are drawn get to pick a prize. And I wanted to let you know, your daughter was one of the two names that we drew out of the basket. Okay, so she takes a breath, and now she's going to do the second part of her monologue. And she says, yeah, and the item that she chose was a pink glittery journal, a writing journal, and I was mouthing the words with a pink feather thing around the edge. She goes, yeah, that's what she picked, and we're so excited for her. But we like to call the parents, particularly of the younger children, early in the day, because sometimes they'll go home with that item from the book fair that they won, and their parents will think they stole it. And there's so many unnecessary tears because the parents don't understand that the child has won the item. So congratulations to your child, and have a great weekend. So my heart sank. I was convinced I was a bad parent at that time. I had accused and berated my little one for something she did not do. I have never felt a more profound sense of failure. My voice was choked with emotion. And so I apologized to my daughter. I said, could you please just excuse me a second? And I went in the bathroom and I cried. And I cried some more. God is creative. He is not limited by the solutions that are right in front of us. He's creative. He has many ways of accomplishing the desires of our hearts and the purposes for our lives. So about what circumstance in your life are you most concerned right now? The next time you agonize over that challenge, how may you pray that God will release you from expecting things to turn out in a certain way? So enough about me and mine. In closing, let's talk about you. Maybe parenting is not your big challenge. Perhaps it's dating, longing for a child, that bad boss you're going to face tomorrow morning, illness, or aging. Maybe you are wrestling with one of the toughest questions of all. Am I good enough to be a Christian? The answer is an unequivocal yes. What you have is enough. And the reason I know that is because God made you. He made you in His image. He knows your flaws just as he knows all our flaws, just as he knew David's flaws, and he chose him anyway. He sent his son to walk among the people and see the depth of their need, and he died on the cross for you and for me. He died and was laid in a tomb, and he rose again, and he is alive today, and you have only to confess him as your Lord and Savior and believe that in your heart, and you will be saved. So the next time, my brother, my sweet sister, that you are lying in bed in the middle of the night, completely awake, and the big questions come to your mind. Am I good enough to be somebody's mom? Do I really have what it takes to wake up tomorrow and do it all over again? Am I good enough? Am I good enough? Do I have what it takes? Allow yourself to become really still and sense the presence of God and hear his voice gently whisper to you encouragement and assurance. What you have is enough.
Are you a mother? And what you have is enough. Would you help me thank God for speaking in this place through Deacon Mary Ware and Deacon Lolita Eumann?